the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Well, it's good to be here as always. Let's begin with a prayer first and foremost. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this night, thanking thee for thy goodness, thanking thee for this blessed opportunity to come together and to be with thee. And we pray, Lord, that thy presence would be felt by all who are here and by all who are listening online. We ask for thy anointing to be here. We pray that thy blessings would fall. And we ask that each and everything we do here this night would be according to thy perfect will and pleasing in thy sight. Bless this service, we pray, in its entirety we ask in Jesus' name. Through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. We're going to open our chorus books and start with number 94, as we so often do on Wednesday nights. Wherever I am, I'll praise him. Number 94. Wherever I am, I'll praise him. Wherever I can, I'll praise him. For his love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift the name of Jesus. For the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I am, I'll praise. I'll praise him for his love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Turn now to number 72 and sing for He is Lord. Number 72. For He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead. Thank you. we're going to turn down number 130 and sing He's My Lord and My God, 130. He's my Lord and my God. He's not just a stranger to me. When I looked past the veil, it was easy to see He's my Lord and my God. He's my Lord and my God. He's not just a stranger to me. Here for number 90. So we're going to turn to number 90 right now and sing The Name of the Lord is a Mighty Strong Tower. Number 90.
The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the
word.
Jesus. Let's turn to number 77 and sing In the Name of Jesus, number 77. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to Number 22, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. 22. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about thank you. number 122 and sing Jesus is the Sweetest Name I Know, number 122.
Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He's just the same as His
and sing His Name is Wonderful, 178.
His name is
Above every name. There is no name greater. Praise the Lord. We're going to be turning this over to Shirley in just a moment, but before we do that, we do have a prayer request. I got a text from Rob shortly before the service began requesting prayer for his son, Nick. I guess he's having severe abdominal pain, so whatever is causing that, let's pray for Nick right now and ask the Lord to take them away. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this night on behalf of Nick. We pray, Lord, that thou would be gracious to him. We ask, Lord, that thou would be merciful. And we pray, Lord, that thou would take away his pain. Whatever is causing this abdominal pain, we ask, Lord, that it would be completely taken away, that he would be completely restored and completely healed. Bring him quick relief, we pray, for we know that thou art able to do it. And whatever is wrong, whatever this is causing, we ask, Lord, that thou would reverse it and reverse it quickly. We know, God, that thou art a God of miracles and nothing is too hard for thee, so we ask, Lord, that thou would please touch Nick right now and heal him, we ask. We pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we also bring Tori before thee this night, praying, Lord, that she would continue to heal from this concussion and this car accident she was involved in. We pray, Lord, that she would be made 100% whole, Lord, that she would be completely healed, that there would be no more trouble with her eyes, that there would be no more pain, no more headaches, Lord, but we pray, Lord, that thy spirit would be upon Tori, and we pray, Lord, that thou would bless her in a mighty way. Touch her right now, we ask, and we pray this in Jesus' name, to the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, for those who are looking in your mailboxes for the newsletter, you wouldn't have gotten it yet because it was mailed today, but it is available online already, and you know, it's a miracle we got that thing done. I wrote half of it in bed, so because my eye was in not great shape, and it got a little worse when I stood up, so it was a little more stable when I was lying in bed with my head propped up. So that's how I wrote over half of the newsletter. I'd say about half of it anyway. But thank God we got it done, and it's out, and you should be getting it in the mail within a couple of days if you're on the mailing list. Praise the Lord. So we certainly do live in interesting times, and we're already seeing amazing things happen. The next newsletter is probably going to be quite interesting, too. You know, they had that hack not long ago of the Colonial Pipeline, which really caused a panic and really messed up the gas supply in this country. And yesterday I saw on the news that those same hackers now have attacked the meat industry, and they knocked out about a quarter of the U.S. beef supply because they're holding JBS, meat packing company, hostage until they pay a ransom for them to free up their computer system. So you're going to see prices going up even more. Inflation is getting bad, but the Lord will help us. He always does. Anyway, there's always a lot going on, and I'm sure we're going to be seeing many more things over the coming month, and before you know it, it'll be time for another newsletter. So praise God. All right, we're going to turn this over to Shirley, and she's going to lead us in a Bible study. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I am glad I know the Lord. I am so glad that I can acknowledge Jesus as my Lord and Savior right now. I'm so glad that we can bow before Him right now. And praise the Lord. You know, it's such a beautiful thing. You know, when we praise Him, when we worship Him, we can feel His presence. Praise the Lord. It's so beautiful when His presence comes down and we can feel His touch and get that new refreshing from the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. I know we were really thankful. There were a few of us that lingered in the presence of the Lord on Sunday. And, you know, it just felt so good to have that refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Oh, we need it so desperately. I know, as Brother Samuel just said, these are such perilous times. And, you know, anything could happen in these times. We don't know. You know, I've wondered if this is just kind of the hush before the storm, because, you know, right now it's just a little bit freer than it was a few months ago and certainly a year ago. And, you know, just, you know, people are a little bit different. It just seems like, you know, you could just kind of sense that, you know, people are feeling like things are a little more normal perhaps. But only God knows, because this world is reeling, it is rocking, it is shaking, and oh, how important it is to have our lives in the hands of Almighty God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to go before the Lord in prayer right now. Praise the Lord. And I do want to say that Sister Sharon's husband, as far as I know, came out of that surgery. I know some of you were helping us pray, and that's so beautiful, so appreciative. But Leslie came out of it very well, from what I understand. And I imagine we'll be getting another update. But we want to thank the Lord for what He's done. And we'll keep praying for Leslie, that God would just heal his body quickly, and all that arm would soon be normal with the help of the Lord. God knows how to do it, for we serve a God of miracles. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, that we could call upon You, Lord. Oh, God, we thank You that we could put all things into Thy hands and know who Thou art, and oh, know that Thou doest all things well. God, we can trust You, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, and we're so thankful that You have made Yourself real to us. Oh, God, we are all strangers from You at one point, Lord. But, oh, God, You called us unto eternal life, Lord. And, oh God, you made yourself real to us, Lord, so that we could call out to thee, Lord. Oh God, so that we could repent and turn our lives over to thee, Lord. And I just pray, oh Lord, that you'd help us as we continue to walk on this earth, Lord. Oh God, I pray that you continue to work in us, to talk to us, to comfort us, to encourage us, Lord, to strengthen us, Lord. Oh God, I pray, oh Lord, that you'd work in us in a mighty way, Lord. That thy presence be felt, O Lord, that thy presence come down. I pray that you would fill your people with the gift of the Holy Ghost, Lord. O God, I pray that you would work in every heart. I pray, O Lord, that you would heal the sick, and O God, that you would move the hindrances that need to go in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood, Lord. O God, we're so dependent upon thee, Lord. We know we could do nothing without you, Lord. We know that our strength, our hope, comes from thee, Lord Jesus. So, God, our faith comes from thee, Lord. And I pray that you would help us, Lord, that you would move us to higher ground tonight. Pray that you talk to every heart, Lord. And, oh, God, oh, Lord, that you keep on working, Lord. Oh, God, do help Leslie, Lord. I pray that his shoulder, oh, God, would heal quickly, Lord. Oh, God, that he'd soon have those abilities again, Lord. And I pray that your work, oh, Lord, would be making him whole, Lord. Oh, God, that you would talk to his heart and help him in every way, Lord. Oh, God, we're so thankful for what you've done, Lord. We're so thankful that we can hold on to thy word. And, oh, God, that we can believe in thee, Lord, that you come to us, Lord, as individuals, Lord. You speak to our hearts as individuals, Lord. Oh, God, you've made a way of escape from the world. Oh, God, all the trouble, Lord. Oh, God, the spiritual reality, Lord, that we become new creatures in Christ, Lord. And, oh, Lord, we thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, for our hope is in heaven. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done. I pray that you take this word. I pray that you'd use it. I pray that you'd talk to our hearts. I pray that you would give us faith, Lord, for we need faith. We know without faith it's impossible to please thee, Lord. I pray that you would give us faith tonight, oh God, to hold on to thy promises, to believe you with all our hearts, Lord God, to work miracles, Lord, to strengthen your people, Lord, to get us to higher ground. We need you, Lord. Oh God, we need faith to believe that you're going to fill us with the gift of the Holy Ghost, oh Lord Jesus. You're going to save our loved ones, Lord. Oh, God, that you're going to talk to our souls. Oh, God, I pray, oh, Lord, that you'd work, Lord. Oh, God, that your will be done, Lord. Oh, God, I know I can do nothing without you, Lord. I pray that you'd give me the words. Oh, God, that you work mightily, Lord, to bring forth this message as thou would ordain. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, talk to our hearts and help us, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank the Lord. Oh, we're so privileged to know Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm going to title this message, A God Who Knows How to Meet Every Need. A God who knows how to meet every need. Praise the Lord. And, you know, there's no limits to our God. We are so blessed and so privileged to know him. Oh, yes, to have his word, which we can open up. Praise the Lord. Let's begin with an opening scripture from Philippians, the 4th chapter. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 4. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. The verse I want us to look at right now is verse 19, Philippians 4:19, and it says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Praise the Lord. What a positive verse. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Next, let's go to the book of Luke here. And I want to read a little portion of scripture here from the 11th chapter of the book of Luke. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. I want us to have faith tonight. I want to have our faith to rise to a deeper depth than ever before. And oh, to higher ground. And oh, God would help us that we could realize the great things that He is able to do. We could just embrace His promises. Praise the Lord. It tells us in Luke 11, verse 9, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" Oh, praise the Lord. Our God's good pleasure to bless His children with good things. And praise the Lord, oh yes, to give that gift to the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him for it. That promise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the fifth verse. I am kind of doing this in a reverse, it might seem, but there's a reason for it. If we can go to the fifth verse and read a few verses here in this 11th chapter, let's do that right now. "And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. Verse 8 tells us, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth." Oh, praise the Lord. This is quite an amazing portion of scripture that I've just read here from Luke 11. You know, first of all, we've been told that if we ask, it shall be given us. And if we seek, we shall find. And if we knock, it shall be opened unto you. Praise the Lord. And let's note that these are action words. You know, it's not just simply thinking. It's in the heart. Though God does hear our thoughts. But so often, there are actions that verify our faith and show that we have faith. God is looking for it. Not only to ask verbally, but, you know, there's a seeking, a searching even of the heart to make sure that there's not some kind of hindrance deep inside one's inner being that would, you know, cause the Lord not to be able to answer. And then, oh, yes, that persistent knocking at the door until it's opened. Oh, praise the Lord. These are action words. And I believe they tell us how God expects us to ask of Him and how He expects us to seek in order to find and to knock so that door, that opportunity, that need can be opened. And that illustration there in verses 5 through 8 is quite interesting. You know, speaking in the natural sense, you know, there's a knock at the door, you know, late at night, and you know, it's a friend that suddenly came here, you know, this person who is the hostess doesn't have anything to feed him. You know, it wasn't expected, and of course, you know, it was a long journey, perhaps for this friend, and he's hungry, she's hungry, you know, so, you know, there's a need. And so, you know, it happened, as we said, you know, this friend wasn't expected, but, you know, this individual goes to another friend to seek some food, some loaves of bread. And what it tells us in verse 8, you know, in verse 7 really is that, you know, you know, the immediate response, you know, when somebody bugs you late at night is, come on, I'm in bed. My children are in bed. You know, I'm not going to get up and you know, answer the door and see what you want. But, you know, it talks about importunity. And that is so important because obviously there was some persistence here. Oh, if something is importune, it means that it was beset with insistence or repeated requests and entreat, you know, pressingly, you know, even annoyingly. You know, somebody that continues and continues to press in, to make the point known, to, you know, keep inquiring until the answer comes. Importunity. And Jesus is talking about this person that's very persistent. And because there is a need, he must have a response. He keeps on knocking and asking and seeking until that door is opened and that request is granted. Praise the Lord. Why is Jesus telling us that? I believe he is telling us how to seek him, how to ask of him, how to expect of him. Praise the Lord. You know, he's expecting us to bug him at times. He's even waiting to see at times how persistent we are, how determined we are in our pursuit. Especially for the spiritual things that we so desperately need from the Lord. I believe these are key verses to tell us how to ask of God, how to seek of God, and how to knock until we find the answers, until that response comes forth, to not give up, to not let it go, to continue to work at it, to make it known. Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus gave us these examples so that we might know how to seek him, how to ask of him, how to find of him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Even if we are seeking the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I know in my childhood people sought for the Holy Ghost. You know, Sunday nights were our times of seeking for the Lord. And, you know, after that message was preached, if you didn't have the Holy Ghost, you went up there. You bent down to pray, to entreat the Lord. And, you know, often there were people that would gather around you to encourage you and to help you as you prayed. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful moment when that individual came through with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Oh, once the glow in the face and all the stammering lips in another tongue as the Holy Ghost comes upon that individual. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of the Lord gives the utterance. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, now it's so beautiful. Oh, it's just, you know, unbelievable. You know, you can't really describe it. Because, oh, the joy that floods our soul, and the Lord fills us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to be studying in 2 Kings, the 4th chapter here tonight. I'd like you to turn there with me right now. And in this portion of Scripture, we have four different examples. If the Lord will help me to get through all of this tonight with His help. Four different instances of needs. And we'll see how God intervenes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's begin with verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. So here we have a widow woman, and you know her husband was one of the prophets, and obviously are one of the sons of the prophets. If there is a difference, I don't know. But anyway, you know, she has a need, a very strong need, because obviously there were debts that needed to be paid, and at that moment she doesn't have the means to pay that debt. And now there's been a knock on the door. That's not a good knock. And it's the creditor who's come seeking those funds. Only she doesn't have them. So instead, the creditor wants to take her two sons to be bondmen, to pay that debt. To be slaves, you could say, or servants, in order to pay that debt. This woman doesn't want that to happen. I mean, her sons mean everything to her, and you know, she's not ready to just give them over to pay that debt. So she went to Elisha the prophet and made her plight known unto him. Verse 2 tells us, And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. And this is so interesting. It seemed, you know, to her thinking that, you know, really, there was no solution. It seemed impossible to her. You know, she didn't really have anything. So it seemed. Except one thing. She had a pot of oil. And I love how God takes our little and multiplies it. And surely that's how it is when we give our lives to Him. You know, our little bit. You know, we might think that we can't do very much for God. But you know what? Even if we start with simple things, well, maybe sweeping the floors, or, you know, washing the dishes, picking up stones or sticks or something, simple little things, God knows how to take our very little and multiply. Oh, yes, and turn it around to something wonderful, something beautiful, something good, even for the kingdom of God. And so it was, this woman didn't have anything but a pot of oil. But you know what? She had something. And it meant that God could use it. Again, I love that. If we just have the simplest of things to offer to the Lord, He can take that little bit, so it seems, and use it for His kingdom's sake. Praise the Lord, you know? That's our God. And oh my, how beautiful it is to know we don't have to, you know, do great feats in order to please Him. But what He's given us, we can turn over to Him and let Him use it. Praise the Lord for His kingdom's sake. Praise the Lord Jesus. So Elisha told her in verse 3. Then he said, Go, borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. So here was the remedy. He told her what she could do. Praise the Lord. And she listened. And she did it. And she was told to go borrow vessels of her neighbors. And they had to be empty vessels. And she was told, don't just do a couple. Don't just do a few. Get as many as you can get, in other words. So praise the Lord, that is what she did. And you know, I think even, you know, the wording in verse 3 is so interesting, because when we come to the Lord, we need to empty ourselves out of self and all the wretched things that have kept us away from God. We need to repent of our sins and give them over to the living God. Everything that would be a hindrance, everything that would destroy us, everything that is a sin, we need to give over to the Lord, so that those things are not there to hinder, so that in that sense, our vessel is empty, so that He can fill us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He can pour out His Spirit upon us. Praise the Lord. But He is looking for truly repentant hearts. And I know, you know, Pastor David Meyer used to say that, you know, he used to talk about Grandma Hart there in the Clintonville Church. And you know, she was such a dear woman. I got to know her too. And she had prayed David off the street when he was an astrologer going around wearing a black cape and, you know, doing all this and that, and, you know, making out horoscopes for people and all those wretched things that he did before he knew the Lord Jesus. She used to pray for him, and, you know, what a day when, you know, he actually walked into the church and she saw that prayer that she prayed for, you know, this young man that she didn't even know, really, come into the church. God answered that prayer for Sister Hart. Amen. Praise the Lord. But she always used to say, you know, people don't receive the Holy Ghost because they haven't repented. They haven't given it all to the Lord. They haven't surrendered it all to the Lord. That was one of her sayings from what she had observed in her own lifetime. I know Brother Leonard Kutu, missionary to Japan, and oh, the establisher of missions, and oh, my Bible schools. My mom and dad went to his Bible college in San Antonio, Texas. But anyway, that was his conclusion too, as he worked the ministry, as he began to see people come to the Lord in the land of Japan. And he realized, you know, when people totally repented, when they were emptied out of everything that's sin in their lives, that they very readily received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Empty vessels that the Lord could fill. Praise the Lord. So Elisha told this woman, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And then he told her in verse 4, and when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So again, the further instructions were that once that oil was collected, then that door needed to be shut. And oh, there are times when we need to shut the door to unbelief, to doubts and fears, to hindrances, to the naysayers, and all that would try to tread upon our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to shut the door against such hindrances. And so she did. And yes, then she was told to pour out into all those vessels. So she began to pour the oil that she had into those vessels. And once they were full, she was told to set those full vessels aside. In other words, she was letting her faith work. First of all, to go forth and collect those vessels, as she had been told, and then to pour out. Yes, she was obeying, for one thing, what she had been instructed to do, and then she was letting faith work. And so it tells us in verse 5, so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And verse 6 tells us, and it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet another vessel, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Oh my, so how amazing. As long as there was a vessel that needed to be filled, the oil poured out. It poured out to capacity to fill that vessel. Praise the Lord. And oh yes, as long as there are vessels, the Lord is looking for his people. And as long as, there's still a harvest that must be reaped on this earth, there is that oil that can be poured out upon the sons and daughters of men. Praise the Lord Jesus, the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so she poured out and poured out and poured out till all the vessels were full and there was not yet another vessel to be filled. And then she came and told the man of God, verse 7. And he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Praise the Lord. You know, by obeying what the man of God told her to do, she was able to pay that debt that was upon her. And oh yes, spare her children from being taken in by strangers. And besides that, it was enough for her to live, she and her children of the rest. Oh, that's God's bountifulness. Oh, his ability, to take us, to fill us, with his Spirit, to the point that, it's enough to take us through this world. Oh, yes, it's enough to get us to heaven. Praise the Lord. It's sufficient. Oh, yes, to meet all our needs, all our obligations. Oh, we are sufficient in the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. And as this woman, this oil was enough to take care of that debt, and then sufficient to live out the rest. Praise the Lord. That oil, the Holy Ghost, is sufficient to meet all our needs, to get us through this world and to get us into heaven. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. So there we have this example of this woman that so desperately needed help there to pay her debt. And look how the Lord answered. He met the need. Oh, for this woman through the prophet Elisha. Thank the Lord Jesus. And oh yes, that obligation was taken care of. Thank the Lord. And she could live with the rest. Okay, with verse 8 we have another story. And Elisha, obviously, he went back and forth from place to place. And here, one of the places that he passed, obviously, was a town called Shunem. And anyway, it tells us here in verse 8, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And, interesting here, he passed by often and the woman observed it and she realized, there was somebody, that she could commune with perhaps and, somebody that she wanted to help. And so, which saw him, she constrained him, it tells us. In other words, she rather encouraged him to come in and have some bread. And so it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in then to her place, and she would give him bread to eat. It tells us in verse 9, and she said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Obviously, he was very frequently going past their place, and she had this perception in her heart. She realized that this was not an ordinary individual, but, you know, he was a man of God. And she was compelled in her heart to want to help him even more. And so this is what she asked her husband. In verse 10, she said, let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. Oh, praise the Lord, what the Lord put in her heart to help Elisha the prophet, so that they would build a little chamber, a room above their dwelling, so that, you know, he could not only stop in and be refreshed with some food, but also he could rest the night. And, you know, she requested that they could put a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick in that chamber, in that room for him. And so when he came, yes, he could not only have some food, but he could, you know, spend the night and, you know, be refreshed in that aspect too. So, praise the Lord. Obviously, the husband thought that was good, and, you know, they went forth and did it. It tells us in verse 11, and it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. Okay, this is Elisha. And it tells us in verse 12, he's now going to speak of his servant, whose name is Gehazi. This is the first reference, I believe, we have to Gehazi in the scripture. It tells us in verse 12, and he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And this is interesting. I'm not sure, you know, even if they spoke the same language, because it seems like he has his servant Gehazi kind of, you know, intervening in a lot of different ways here. But, you know, we'll continue by reading in verse 13. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king, or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. So it's in Elisha's heart to want to do something in return for all her care and help towards him. And so he's having his servant Gehazi inquire of her, you know, what can we do for you, in other words? You know, do you have any needs? I mean, can we speak to the king for you, or to the captain of the host? You know, is there something like that that we could do? And she just replies, well, I dwell among my own people. And then, so, you know, but it's, you know, in Elisha's heart, I've got to do something to help her. I mean, she's so kind to us. And I want to do something to reciprocate. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi, and again, I just wonder if Gehazi, you know, was interpreting possibly, you know, a thought. I kind of get that feeling here as I read this portion of scripture. And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. Oh, there was something that she really desired. Oh, she didn't have any children, and her husband was of age, obviously. And so that, you know, it was no longer expected that she would have a child. but we serve a God of miracles who knows how to meet every need. This was this Shunammite woman's need. Amen. And so Elisha said to Gehazi, and he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And this is what he said in verse 16. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And I mean, wow, this was, you know, something that she probably laid aside as being even possible. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. I mean, don't tell me something that's not possible, please. Don't, you know, don't give me hope that's false. But it wasn't. God had spoken through Elisha. And it tells us in verse 17, and the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Praise the Lord. Our God knows. He knows how to meet every need. Well, the story continues in verse 18. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. We don't know a lot of details here. We don't know if he fell and somehow injured his head or he had a concussion or, you know, it's just so hard to know exactly, precisely, but somehow there must have been a terrible pressure and pain on his head. And all, you know, was brought to the attention of his father, who called for a lad, a young man, to carry him to his mother. Obviously, it was so impairing that he could not continue what he was doing. And so, it tells us in verse 20, and when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. Oh my, oh, this was so hard, you know. You had a son one moment. It was a promised child, you know, something this woman had so longed for. And now, very suddenly, he's dead. He died. But this is a very persistent woman. Oh my, she knows that this is a miracle child anyway. And she has a hope in her heart somehow. Oh, there's going to be an answer. There's going to be intervention. There's got to be hope. Verse 21 tells us that she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses that I may run to the man of God and come again. And I don't even know that she shared details. I'm not even sure. All I know, there's this urgent, desperate need. And it comes to her what she must do. She must go find the man of God. She must have an answer to this problem. She must see her son again. In verse 23, her husband, he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she answers, she said, it shall be well. Oh, here she was in a desperate strait. Oh, having seen something happen that, you know, just caused her to be so just, oh my, in despair and so troubled and you know, so full of a terrible, you know, anguish of soul. But yet here she speaks, it shall be well. Again, the husband doesn't quite understand, well, why? Why are you going to see, you know, the man of God today? It's not a new moon. It's not the Sabbath. I mean, why? What's going on? But she answers with words of faith. Oh my, our words speak what's in the heart, you know? And if we have faith in our hearts, words of faith will come out of our mouths. I truly believe. And here this woman is speaking words of faith. She said, "It shall be well." Then she saddled an ass or a donkey and said to her servant, "Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee." Oh, he told the driver to go forth and you know, don't be slow for me. Don't go easy. Yes, you know, get there as quickly as you can until I tell you to stop, in other words. And obviously, I believe it was some distance. You know, she's going to Shunem, and going from Shunem and to the Mount Carmel, it tells us in verse 25. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?" And when she was asked, she answered again those words, "It is well." But I'll tell you what, oh my, you know, there was a need, and she was desperate. And I think it's remarkable how Elisha saw her afar off. God had it all arranged. You know, he sees our needs, and he knows the cries of our heart. And there it was, you know, Elisha saw her before she was even all that close. He saw her at a distance. And he had Gehazi go meet her and inquire, "Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? I mean, what brings you here? Why are you coming? What's up?" She answers to Gehazi, "It is well." But oh my, you know, she's not going to settle for that. No, there is a need. There is a desperate need within her being. And she is going to get the answer by the grace of God, no matter what it costs. It tells us in verse 27, "And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, 'Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me.'" So Elisha realized, oh my, there's something very wrong, you know. Her soul is vexed. There's some trouble. I don't know what it is. God has not revealed it to me, but I know there's a problem. There is a need. This is not normal for this woman at all. You know, yeah, it was strange for her to catch him by the feet, but you know, I imagine she didn't know what else to do, and this is what came to her to do. Gehazi wanted to thrust her away, but Elisha knew there was a need. Her soul is vexed within her. She is urgently seeking some help. And so she begins to tell it in verse 28. Then she said, "Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me?'" And I don't know, she may be saying this, you know, through to Gehazi, who interprets. Again, we don't have those details. But it tells us in verse 29, "Then he said to Gehazi, 'Gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child.'" Oh, Elisha's beginning to realize, you know, what this is all about. "And the mother of the child said, 'As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee.' And he arose and followed her." Oh my. She was insisting. She was persistent. You know, she was going to have an answer to the death of her son. Oh, she was holding out for a hope. And of course, Gehazi went on first. Tells us, and Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, "The child is not awake." And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in, therefore, and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And you know, sometimes we need to just shut ourselves in with God. Oh my, in this world there could be so many hindrances. Oh, so many distractions in this world. Sometimes too many voices. Oh, too many opinions. Oh, and they can breed doubts and fears. They can take away from faith all the pessimists, all the skeptics, all the carnal thinkers. There are times we need to shut ourselves in with God. Oh, praise the Lord. And that's what Elisha did. He went in, therefore, and shut the door upon them twain, and he prayed unto the Lord. Oh, he prayed first. And then he went up in verse 34, and he lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child. And the flesh of the child waxed warm. Oh, praise the Lord. The answer is coming. The answer is coming. Oh, my, you know, and then you see how it was. Elisha prayed first. And then he put his faith to action. Oh, yes, the action followed. And as, you know, he lay upon the child and he, you know, mouth to the child's mouth, eyes to the child's eyes, hands to the child's hands, and so on, and stretched himself. That child's body began to wax warm. Oh, yes, the answer is coming, but still did not seem fully there. So verse 35 tells us that he returned and walked in the house to and fro. In other words, back and forth, back and forth. And went up and stretched himself upon him. And this time, praise the Lord, oh, it happened. And the child sneezed 7 times. And the child opened his eyes. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that hope was completed. It came to perfection. Those 7 times the child sneezed. And there it was. That answer had come forth. God had heard. God had answered. Oh, yes, God heard that woman's urgent cry within her being. Oh, he saw the actions that she took in her desperation. Oh, yes, oh, that need that she felt must be met. Praise the Lord. Oh, how God sees faith. Oh, he hears those prayers. And oh, yes, when that prayer is put to action, how God sees it and recognizes it and knows it. Oh, praise the Lord. And he called Gehazi and said, "Call this Shunammite." So he called her. And when she was come in unto him, he said, "Take up thy son." Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Oh my, acknowledging in the way that she could her gratefulness for what God had done. Oh, praise the Lord. We serve a wonderful God. There is no problem too hard for our God. No situation too great for our God. He knows how to meet every need. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, he knows how to heal every disease, every infirmity. Oh, praise the Lord. He even knows how to raise the dead. Should it be his will, amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. And then we have another story here in this 4th chapter of 2 Kings. Again, Elisha's moving around a lot. And now came again to Gilgal. And this was almost like a headquarters place, I feel. And there was a dearth in the land, it tells us in verse 38. And the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, set on the great pot and seed pottage for the sons of the prophets. Okay, let's just, you know, put this together here a minute. Okay, he comes to Gilgal, and there's a famine. It's a dearth in the land. And here are the sons of the prophets. And yes, it was like there was a school of the prophets. And you know, Elijah and Elisha had taught them and were teaching them. And here are these sons of the prophets. And they're sitting here. But, you know, there's no food. You know, there's no refreshment in that sense at all. So, oh my, well, what do I do? What do I do? Well, this is what Elisha does. He says to his servant, sit on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. Okay, so, you know, this big pot that they used to, you know, make, you know, a lot of soup or stew or whatever for a lot of people, because I think we're talking about 100 men here. Anyway, so here's this great pot, this great heavy pot, and you know, Elijah says, you know, to his servant, go get the big pot, and then see the pottage for the sons of the prophets. In other words, you know, cook, you know, some produce, you know, make some stew, some soup, something, some porridge or something there, you know. Well, you know, there's no food. You know, but okay, well, we put the pot out there, and now, yes, we go forth. We put faith to action. So it looks like they went out to find what they could find in the fields. And one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds, his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage. For they knew them not. So one of them, you know, just looking for something that was edible, he found wild gourds, and they didn't know what they were really, but looked like food. And so they were taken and shred into the pot, a pottage. They didn't know what they were. But verse 40 tells us, so they poured out for the man to eat. And it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, oh, the man of God, there is death in the pottage. Something tasted horrible. There were definitely indicators that, you know, something was awry and this food was not edible, you know. And it says, and they could not eat thereof. But praise the Lord, our God knows how to meet every need. Praise the Lord. We don't know what's going to be, you know, in our futures. We don't know. You know, we've already seen food shortages already. You know, some of those shelves and some of those stores look pretty bare. And as Brother Samuel was talking about this meat problem that's recently risen, I mean, God only knows. But we serve a mighty God, and He knows how to help His people. And there was a solution for even this pottage that, you know, they had stuff in it that was poisonous. Verse 41 tells us, but he said, then bring meal. And he cast it into the pot. And he said, pour out for the people that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. Oh, praise the Lord. So they were able to put meal into that pot. And praise the Lord, it restored that food to be edible so that they could eat it and not be harmed. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God has an answer for every dilemma, every situation, every need. And here, even in the midst of famine, God supplied their needs, and their bodies were nourished. Praise the Lord. And now we have another little story here, the next three verses here as this chapter ends. It tells us in verse 42, "And there came a man from Baal-shal-isha, and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits," in other words, his tithes, 20 loaves of barley, and full ears of corn in the husk thereof. And he said, "Give unto the people that they may eat." And I would say this is Elisha that is saying, you know, the man brought food and, you know, 20 loaves of barley and full ears of corn in the husk. So, you know, Elisha, very practical, you know, here's a blessing. Give unto the people that they may eat. But, you know, his servant had another thought, because there were 100 men here, and this did not seem like enough food to feed 100 men. So it tells us in verse 43, "And his servitors said, What? Should I set this before 100 men? Elisha, he said again, Give the people that they may eat. For thus saith the Lord, They shall eat and shall leave thereof." Praise the Lord. So he set it before them, and they did eat and left thereof, according to the word of the Lord. Oh, isn't this a wonderful story also? Praise the Lord. Oh, here was food. But it did not seem like it was enough food to, you know, appease the hunger of 100 men. But yet, Elisha, through the urging of the Lord, has the people to sit down and eat. And he says, with the Lord being the one that gives him this insight, "They shall eat and shall leave thereof." In other words, there's going to be enough food for 100 men, and there's also going to be leftovers. Oh, what an amazing thing, and it is. So he set it before them, and they did eat and left thereof, according to the word of the Lord. Our wonderful God, who knows how to supply our needs, regardless of what it is, whatever the desperate situation may be, that the creditors have come, we need money to pay a bill, we're going to lose our house, we're going to lose our car. Oh, in this case, you know, the widow who is going to lose her children. Oh, there are desperate situations. Or, yes, the Shunammite woman. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, that you also, you know, desired a child. It was so unlikely and seemed impossible. But God brought it to pass so that it happened. Amen. And when that child died, being a little older, God raised that child back up. Oh, my. Surely there is nothing too hard for our God. No need too outrageous for our God to meet. And oh yes, these circumstances here where there was even a time of famine and they didn't have food. What did Elisha have them do? Oh yes, go get the big pot. Get the great pot. Set it out there. And then go see what you can find. And even though they found items that were poisonous, God made it edible and non-poisonous. Praise the Lord. He had a solution even for that problem. Oh, how the Lord hears our cries and how he sees faith. And praise the Lord, this last example here in 2 Kings 4. Oh, when it seemed like there was food, but it wasn't enough food. Yet the Lord knew how to multiply it in such a way that it would be sufficient to meet the needs of those people, those men, those 100 men. Oh, that's our gracious and wonderful God who knows how to do all things. And praise the Lord, Jesus came to this earth. And oh my, we see that so often he did the unexpected. He did things that seemed impossible to men. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, he knew how to multiply those 5 loaves of bread and those 2 small fishes. Praise the Lord. He knew how to, you know, make it sufficient to meet the needs of the multitude of people. 5,000 men plus men and children. Oh, that's our gracious God. Oh, you know, sometimes you can't explain it, you know, how God does it. But then, does everything need an explanation? We might not understand. You know, there are things that happen to us in this world that we cannot, you know, comprehend with our minds. But one thing I know, we can trust our God. We can put our hope, our confidence in our God. He knows how to help us. He sees when we're crying out with all our beings. He knows them that put their trust in Him. Oh yes, and cry out with all their heart. He knows how to meet those needs. How to do the miracles to bring them forth. Oh, that's our gracious, wonderful God who is sufficient for every need. Oh, yes, regardless of what it is. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we serve an amazing God. One thing that He has taught us to be persistent, to not give up. Oh, not to think that just because we've asked 10 times that means that it's over. No, it tells us in Luke the 18th chapter, the great need to pray. Jesus told this parable in chapter 18 of Luke, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, she didn't give up. She was persistent. You know, oh my, she was going to have that need fulfilled, even if she had to come 1,000 times. Oh, that unjust judge became weary of her continuance. Oh, yes, and because of that importunity, he gave up his meanness. He, you know, though he didn't fear God or regard man, no, it came to him, I'm going to give in. I can't stand her coming here one more time. I'm going to give in to her request. And the Lord said in verse 6 here, Luke 18, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And he compared it to God's willingness to help his own people. And shall not God avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Oh, his willingness to hear our cries. Oh, to hear the petitions of his people. Oh, yes, to hear those that ask of him. Oh, yes, to know them that seek. And oh, yes, to hear those that knock, that go forth with faith to believe God has the answers. Oh, to believe that with God all things are possible if we can believe. Amen. Oh, yes, our God sees it. And He is so willing to go forth and bring forth the answers. Oh, but He asked a question. This 8th verse of Luke 18. Oh, He said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? Oh, how we need faith. We serve an amazing God. We serve a God who is sufficient to meet every need. He hears the cries of the heart. But how He looks for faith. Faith to go forth and believe that God is going to do it. We don't have food, but we put forth the big pot. And then we do what is possible to find that need. And who's to know how God will provide? Oh, yes, we do the little that we can do. And yes, as I said, little can be so much. If little is much, if God is in it. We take our little, just oil in the pot, that's all we have. God knows, but He's able to take that oil and multiply it, and multiply it, and multiply it until there is oil to meet the need. It is sufficient to meet the need. Oh, yes, so all the obligations can be met. The answer to come forth, whatever that we seek with all our heart. Oh, yes, the Lord promised that if you seek Me with all your heart, in that day will I be found. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, as He said, oh, yes, in that 11th chapter of the book of Luke, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Oh, praise the Lord. That's our gracious God. Oh, He's waiting, oh yes, to hear from us. He's waiting for us to seek Him with all our hearts, to cry out with all our beings, to put our faith to action, to go forth and believing, oh yes, that those needs will be fulfilled. Praise the Lord, because we serve a God, the Creator of the universe, the One that made us, and He knows how to fix us. Oh, praise the Lord, that wonderful God knows how to meet every need, regardless of what it is. Oh, praise the Lord. There is nothing too hard for our God. He is a God of impossibilities. Oh, praise the Lord. But He is looking for a people that will have faith, that will believe Him, that will stand on His promises, that will embrace His promises and go forth, praise the Lord, to receive them. Oh, praise the Lord, our God is a God of miracles. He is a God of truth. Oh, what He has said, He will do. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord, and we know there is nothing too hard for our God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, I pray that He will find faith in our hearts. I pray, oh Lord, that we can reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Oh, that we can receive those needs. Oh, that are all very strongly needful in our hearts, in our lives, in our situations, our circumstances. Oh, praise the Lord. We serve a faithful God. Amen. I'm so thankful He hasn't changed. what He has done in the past, He can do yet today. If we could just stand and believe Him, oh yes, and let His word be affirmed in our hearts. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We serve a God who knows how to meet every need. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We worship Him tonight. You praise Him tonight. Will you give Him your heart tonight? Oh, praise the Lord. He's here. He promised where two or three are gathered together. Oh, there will I be in their midst. Oh, yes. Gather together in His name. There He will be in our midst. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He is here. He is here to meet your needs. You can reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, He is great and greatly to be praised. There is none like unto our God. Praise the Lord, and He is here to meet your needs. Praise the Lord, if you can stand on His promises and believe them. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Touch us, move in us, change us. Give us faith here tonight. Oh, God, let us have faith. Help us to believe you, God, no matter what the need is, the circumstances, the situations. Oh, God, the issues. God, I pray that you would meet the needs of your people, that you would put faith in our hearts in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we will turn our chorus books to number 89 and sing God Can Do Anything. Number 89. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. Is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end? He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything. be safe. Have a wonderful night.